Welcome back to Coco Mode with Shauna Renee. Joining me now is Sarah Bird Sharps. She is the co-author of One in Seven, a study that was released last week by the Measure of America that ranks youth disconnection in the 25 largest metropolitan areas. So, Sarah, first of all, welcome to Coco Mode.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I guess the logical place to start is to sort of have you explain what you mean by disconnection. How do you define disconnection in this case?
Sure. Disconnected youth are teenagers and young adults in the 16 to 24-year-old range who are not in working and not working and not in school. And there are about 5.8 million young people in this situation, an astonishing 1 in 7 young people nationwide who fall into this category.
And so I thought it was really interesting. I found the article, and with it there were a number of graphics that went through each city. And you seem to break the statistics down by racial groups. So there was, I saw African-American, Hispanic, Asian-American, and white. So there were those four groups, correct? Is that how it was done?
That's right. We wanted to look at what's happening in major cities across the country. So we ranked the 25 largest cities in America today. And then within each city, we were able to get data by major racial and ethnic groups. We can do those four because there are enough kids in that age range to get reliable statistics. So we're able to tell, for instance, you know, in the top, Boston, you know, has the lowest rate of disconnection overall, but then if you look by race and ethnicity, it tells a pretty different story.
Okay, now one of the things that you found in the study, unfortunately, was that African Americans have the highest rate of youth disconnection, upwards of 22.5%, and I'm assuming that that's sort of an average of across all 25 cities. Is that correct?
That's actually the average for the United States.
Oh, for
today.
The whole United States. Okay. All right. Very good. So now there were a couple of things that I thought were interesting. And one of them is this study was how disconnection affects young people. Can you kind of go into detail about why this is a problem and how it affects young people?
Sure. I mean, I guess what the studies show is that this kind of lack of attachment to these real anchor institutions during your early 20s and your teens can really leave scars that last for your entire lifetime. And they've found evidence that it affects everything from, of course, earnings and your financial independence, but also to your physical and mental health and even to your marital prospects. So it's an issue that is serious for young people themselves, but it's also serious for our country as a whole, because when you have large numbers of kids who are disconnected, it means a labor force with too few skilled workers, right, to compete today in the 21st century labor market. But it also often means high costs of crime, of incarceration, and also cost to deal with the poor physical and mental health that come along that often accompany disconnection.
Now, we talk about disconnection. We're talking about young people between 16 and 24 years old who are not in school and who are not working. Now, in your research, were you able to determine whether or not this was a result of lack of interest, which you have a segment of the population? I mean, recently, last week, we heard, you know, presidential candidate Mitt Romney say, you know, those people, they're just lazy and shiftless and want entitlement. Or is this a response to lack of opportunity?
I think anyone who has a young kid at home today knows that virtually every young person has the same dreams, right? They dream to become self-sufficient one day and to lead a life that they can be proud of and that their family can be proud of. So for us, what the research shows pretty clearly, though, is that not everyone has the same tools for achieving these dreams. And that, you know, one of the things that we found very strongly was that there's a strong link between disconnected communities and disconnected kids. So in communities where adults are struggling with their own attachment to the labor force, you know, and keeping jobs, where education levels are low, where poverty is high, it's a pretty strong guarantee that there's going to be a large proportion of teens and young adults in the 16 to 24-year-old range who are also struggling with staying in school or with keeping jobs or getting jobs in the first place.
All right. Now, this may seem like a pretty obvious question. I mean, it was obvious. It was the reaction that I had at first. It was like, duh, we all know this. I mean, you know, and that's what happens. You have a lot of cynics who go, do we really need to pay for a study to show that young people don't have jobs? We've been talking about this all along. So in your opinion, why was this study necessary? And what were you all hoping to accomplish by actually doing the study and then releasing the results?
Well, I think one reason that for us the study is necessary is because of the reaction that you talked about a few minutes ago, which is the notion that individual kids need to, pull themselves up by their bootstraps and, take initiative. Well, initiative is certainly a piece of it. So are sort of your God-given talents, whether you're, particularly, athletic or intelligent or whatever. But the conditions and the institutions around us matter a lot, and I think that we tend sometimes to underestimate the role that those play in the situation. And so we wanted to really look at, we looked at 900 neighborhoods in these 25 biggest cities to get a handle on, what's going on for these kids. And then to enable those who care about this issue and who care about the cost, the human and the financial cost it is to our country, particularly in a time when we're strapped for cash and we're trying to figure out ways to cut costs, where we can focus laser-like, which communities, which groups, which issues, so that we can, make progress on reducing this 1 in 7. So that's why we did the study.
And speaking of individual and talent and individual talent and skills, I thought it was really interesting in the report that I read, your co-author, Kristen Lewis, said that in today's economy, everyone needs some education beyond high school, but perhaps we're at the point that we need to, and these were her words, rethink the college for all mantra. Instead, people maybe need to start thinking about technical training. And that's a very controversial issue, particularly in certain parts of the African American community, because we've always been told that a 4-year or now, higher education is what guarantees you higher pay, that there's no money in these trade kinds of jobs anymore. Is that true, or is she saying that perhaps we need to rethink that as well?
We absolutely need to rethink it. I think it came out really clear in this study. And one of the things we did was we looked at other countries in Europe and Scandinavia that had much lower youth disconnection rates. And what's really clear there is that these countries have strong vocational and technical education systems that offer a great alternative for people whose interests and aspirations are better served by a career certificate or some college, but not a 4-year degree. And what's happened here is that for kids for whom this isn't the best path, it's really stigmatized, and they're discouraged by guidance counselors for seeking anything else. And that's part of the reason why kids drop out of school. They don't see the relevance. They don't see it leading them to some sort of job with economic security. And, the Bureau of Labor Statistics and others have shown that over the next 5 years alone, there's about 30 million new jobs that'll require workers with an associate's degree, a 2-year degree, or an occupational certificate that are good jobs, but that don't require a 4-year degree. And so one of the recommendations we make strongly in the report is that we need to move beyond this college for all mantra to provide meaningful support and guidance to these kids and to all kids, whatever they aspire to, but related to the issue of disconnection to these kids, whose career aspirations would be better served by high-quality career and technical ed certificates.
Well, and I think that's sort of important, because you said something, a key word, you said good jobs. And, of course, that's relative. And I think that this is probably from where I'm sitting. And, of course, I didn't participate in this study. But I think that's what really needs to be explained to young people if, in fact, what you're saying is true. Because, to someone, a good job is $10 an hour. To other people, that is absolutely unacceptable when, let's say, you're living in a city like we're here in Washington, D.C., you can't live on that. So, I mean, I guess when you say good jobs, are we talking about high paying jobs, or are we saying, listen, it is better to have a low paying job as far as larger society is concerned, a low paying job, be underemployed if that's the case, than to be disconnected?
No, these jobs, these 30 million jobs that we're talking about, are good jobs in the sense that they enable you to support a family. They're jobs that have economic security. They're not poverty wage jobs.
Okay.
We're not interested in advocating that for anybody. But I think the thing is, we had a vocational and technical education system in this country in the 70s and 80s for a variety of reasons. They sort of got flushed down the toilet, and we're saying, and part of it was, you know, for reasons that kids were being tracked and that they were sort of an underclass. We're saying we don't have to do it that way. Other countries show us the way to have a respected program that links, that has the same high school academic prep as, you know, kids who are going to college does, because any entry-level job today that's a decent job requires that same academic prep, but that also links kids with internships, with apprenticeships, with after-school programs that enable them to get the kind of experience that they would need to get, you know, the post high school education they need to enter into these jobs.
Mm. And if I may jump up again on my soapbox, I think the other piece of that is that we have to be mindful that there are jobs available for them here and that they stay here. Because I think that's part of the reason. I mean, I come from Detroit originally, a blue collar town. And so, yeah, there was a lot of technical training going on because there were a lot of jobs that required it. But then here we are, 2012. And, you know, having technical training doesn't get you very far there any longer.
And one of the great things about these other countries, we talk a little bit about what's going on in Finland and the Netherlands and Germany, is that industry gets involved. So they help to shape a curriculum for kids who choose this route, you know, in their last couple of years in high school, so that they're training for something that's actually out there. And it also helps to defray the cost. So, you know, it's, some of these programs are a partnership between local industry where they see, you know, having a trained pool as beneficial to that private sector business, and so they contribute to these programs. So it's a win-win on both sides.
All right. We're talking to Sarah Bird Sharp. She, along with Kristen Lewis, are the co-directors of Measure of America, and they are the authors of the Measure of America series of national and state reports. And we're talking about the most recent one called One in Seven, ranking youth disconnection in the 25 largest metro areas, defining disconnection as 16 to 24-year-olds who are not in school and are not working. So, again, you took the 25 largest metropolitan areas, cities here. What did you find was common across the board? Is this an issue of poverty? Is this an issue of race? What have you found, or what did you find in the study?
Well, in terms of race, we absolutely found that there's a tremendous disparity. So, for instance, while Asian American disconnection rates are 8%, whites about nearly 12%, Latinos is more in the 19% range, and African Americans have the highest rates of youth disconnection across the country, so 22.5%. And we looked a bit within each of these 25 metro areas also to see what's going on. And I think one of the conclusions that we made is that, so even in metro areas with comparatively little overall youth disconnection, African-American disconnection rates remain stubbornly high. And that the reason for this is particularly in the employment area. So while the average African-American school enrollment for this age range of kids is just at about the U.S. average, those who aren't in school struggle to find a place in the job market. So it's the employment piece of this that's really challenging in the African-American picture.
All right. Well, the other thing that I really like about the study, and unfortunately we're kind of running out of time so we can't get into it too much in this interview, is that you do make some key recommendations. So for those people quickly who want to read the study and more importantly want to kind of get more of a sense of what you all are doing over at Measure of America, how can they find you online?
So our website is measureofamerica.org, simple. And in addition to our studies, we also have a really cool map app there where you can look at, you know, what's going on in your congressional district or your state. In some states, we even went down to a lower level of disaggregation, and then you can compare it to what's happening in your neighboring place. And it's not just in terms of disconnection. It's a whole range, about 100 indicators, dozens and dozens, everything ranging from sort of military recruits to SAT scores to how long you're living, et cetera. So
okay.
That's at measureofamerica.org.
Measureofamerica.org. And we'll also also put a link up on our Facebook page. Sarah Bird Sharps, thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. And best of luck in all of the future endeavors. And I'll continue to check back with Measure of America to see some of the great work that you'll be doing in the future. And I want to thank all of you for hanging out with me this weekend. Really appreciate it. As always, I appreciate the hard work from Daryl. Thank you so much. And take care of yourself. We will be back next week. Same time, same place. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. Peace.